So good. You know, discipline is a real thing. You know, a lot of victories are won in the extra innings in life. A lot of victories are won in the extra innings. Lack of discipline, on the back of what he said, is a fast track to circle a mountain. Lack of discipline is the racetrack the devil built around the mountain you were supposed to conquer, so you would circle it. Not today, devil. You know what? This week was really intense in my world. I had a lot going on. And it was so interesting because this week, a few weeks ago, I was told about this week. God said, Daniel, I need you to finish the rough draft of this book you've been working on. Now, for those of you that are interested, it's like, what's the next book that's about to come out? It's going to be the story of the pre-Adamic ages and the sons of God. We're going to actually string together all of these. And so it wasn't exactly the easiest book to write, but I had a lot of notes, praise the Lord, to help guide. But he said, you're going to finish this, and you're going to do it this week. Can I tell you when the devil threw everything and the kitchen sink? One thing that was going through my mind this week, it was, I think I'm going to have to take that off of my schedule. Except I heard Ed's word and spirit coming for me like a freight train. And I was like, I am not going under conviction. I'm not going down on Sunday. I'm not going to do it. I am going. So what I did is I leaned into grace. Can I tell you 65,000 words later, that book has been completed in its rough draft. Discipline is in the house, friends. We're very excited. So we're going to start a new series. And if you don't mind, I'd like to bless the word. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you for your presence in this house. You have graced us and honored us with your presence, and we honor you in response. We thank you that we have eyes to see and ears to hear what your spirit is saying and hearts to understand. We thank you that there are more with us than there are with them. We thank you, Lord God, that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So bless the hearing of the word today. I thank you that it brings life, it brings encouragement. And I thank you, Lord God, that we are not hindered or checked by any outside force in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we finished our last series after 12 weeks. How many of you know that's a long series? So we are on a new series, which I am super excited because this means our YouTube numbers will go up. Praise God. Now, this new series is going to, again, stretch the parameters of the revelation we've been operating in, okay? So I like to do this dance, or maybe the Lord likes to do this dance. He'll usually have me push the envelope on a subject for a while, and then scale it back, and it's like, now we have to balance the ship for a while. And then it's like, okay, now we're going to push again. So now we're back in push mode, and we are going to unpack what I think is a revolutionary concept. Now, how many of you have been to the doctor before? Right, everybody. We all know that sometimes our body needs some help, right? Like, the body gets sick, the body has issues, the body has pains and all kinds of dysfunction at times, and so we need some help. How many of you know that not all doctors are trustworthy? Can I tell you what happened to me? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a sad story. Now, I have an issue to pick with most of these vaccines, okay? I mean, this is my personal preference. I'm not giving you medical advice. But, you know, so I go to the doctor in Chicago, and this was in 2013 because I was about to take a trip to Rwanda. Now, in order to get into Rwanda, I had to get a yellow fever vaccine. So I scheduled a trip with the doctor. I was like, I have to get this one, whatever, I'm going to do it. So I go, I sit down in this table, and I'm like, yeah, I need a yellow fever vaccine. So he gives it to me, and then without even asking, he just pulls out another needle and jabs me in the arm. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, don't worry about it. It's just a flu shot. A flu vaccine? I didn't want that. I didn't ask you to do that. Oh, it's covered by your insurance. Don't worry about it. I would call that today medical malpractice. Now, at the time, I was just confused, and I walked out of the doctor's office like, what just happened to me? Can I tell you, I did experience notable brain fog after I got that. It took a while to wear off. And I learned a while ago that not all medical professionals are the most trustworthy people. Some are. I praise God for our medical professionals and surgeons that are doing a good job. But, you know, there are some people that are run by the system and an ungodly system. So what has been the response? There are a lot of Americans that have said, we'll try alternative health care. Okay? And there's a whole alternative health care market out there. We have people that are going to chiropractors for healing journeys. We have people going to naturopaths for healing journeys, herbalists, you know. And, you know, it gets a little dicey as well because some of these people are pretty deep in the occult and New Age. And others of them are literally trying to serve Jesus outside of the system. And I praise God for them too. Now, with that said, the main point I'm making is the body needs some help, right? And this series, we are going to start connecting dots on how ministry to the body is actually plugging into the ministry that we've been doing to the soul and the spirit. I'm going to be detailing to you secrets and mysteries that have been unlocked, not only by me, but many of the coaches I've been talking to, because this is something that's been a growing realm of understanding within our coach community for some time. And I'm going to, for the first time publicly, like really begin to expand on how the ministry to the body and the soul, or the soul and the spirit, has ultimately drifted into a ministry to the body. And it's profound. Now, I'm going to draw you this picture, right? And I've drawn it so many times. So many of you will be familiar with this, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of all peace sanctify you completely. I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible also says he is not a Jew, which is one that is outward of the circumcision of the flesh, but he is a Jew that is inward of the circumcision of the heart in the spirit, right? So we understand that Holy Spirit definitely lives in the heart in the spirit. And we also understand that the heart is the seat of human intuition. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The heart sits at the cross-section of human design. Now, this is all old news for those of you that have been following me for some time, watching me. I mean, I've explained this in Heart Matters series, parts in parenting, parts in marriage, parts in the workplace, everywhere else I talked about it. Like, we've been journeying this for some time. Even the transdimensional kingdom, because what I showed you in that one is that God builds this transdimensional bridge to his kingdom, and that happens through the heart, but because of the nature of the spirit. And so we could even add that to our drawing. Here's the kingdom of God. So anyway, as we understand this, there's been something that I have not spent much time talking about. This guy. And I'm going to be honest, right? In this model, I have not felt that this was my place of power. I feel that people have naturopaths, people have medical doctors, people have surgeons, people have herbalists, people have chiropractors, people have different individuals that they go to for this one to get fixed in that realm. So what God had basically equipped me to do was a lot of this work and this work. So we have inner healing ministry, and we have ministry to the human spirit. And ministry to the human spirit has caught me quite a few lumps in the real world of accusation and, you know, scrutiny. Like, people don't always like the fact that we talk about the human spirit. Well, I'll tell you what, to all my accusers out there, y'all about to get another one. And I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I'll give you some more ammo. Yeah, go ahead, write another blog, see what happens. You know, I just don't care. You know, when God is with you, it's like, who could be against you? I just don't care. I'm like, they gonna say all kinds of things. I have so many haters. I have a Rolodex of haters. We could add a few more. This is a real thing. And I'm going to tell you, this is going to set so many captives free. When we start talking about this, we're talking about a revelation that is phenomenally powerful. Now, the way that God has helped me to come to a new level of understanding on the subject of human design is that he basically graduated me out of this view that said, the body is the exterior, the soul is the mind, will, and emotions, and the spirit is our place of fellowship with God. That was the original triune man viewpoint I had. I got that from Bible school. And it seemed to make enough sense. You know, the spirit is our place of worship. I didn't get further than that. As I journeyed with the Lord, God said, let's reframe this. The soul is the mind, will, and emotions. We'll call that M-W-E. He said, but that's not the only mind, will, and emotions there is. Once I met my human spirit and I began to help others all over the world meet their human spirits and trained others to then help others meet their human spirit. I mean, we have tens and hundreds of thousands. I don't even know how many people have been influenced now by what has come out of this ministry house, by secondary, tertiary influences. But we realize that the spirit has a mind, will, and emotions of its own. Why? Because the spirit is actually a person. So our design is more complex than we thought. We thought we were just whatever. Once we started meeting the human spirit, we realized that it had its own mind, will, and emotion. The only way certain scriptures even make sense is when you understand that the spirit has its own mind, will, and emotions. Let me give you an example. The Bible says that the spirit of man, what man knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? How can a spirit that has no mind know thoughts of the soul that the soul doesn't know? It needs its own mind to process. So in practical application, we could talk to the spirit. I'll say, you know, so-and-so's human spirit, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I honor you in the name of Jesus. I invite you to be present at the surface. The spirit, the human spirit comes forward. It's not a demon. It's the person. It's who God created them to be. It comes forward, and I say, why are they struggling with this addiction? Daniel, it's because of this trauma that happened when they were 7. Like, the spirit may know information the soul doesn't even remember. And I have had the spirit rat people out to me so many times in the process of them getting freedom in Christ Jesus. That's the practical application. The Bible says the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord searching all the inward parts of his being. You better believe I lean on that in ministry. It's the lamp of the Lord. So the spirit has its own mind, will, and emotions. But then God was like, no, it's not just that. The body has its own mind, will, and emotions. So when we actually understand our design, what we see is that we have intelligence and memory and emotion sitting in all three areas of our design, plus the heart, because it sits at the cross section of everything. Now, this key unlocks the power of God to bring transformation in lives. Why is this important? It unlocks the power of God. How many of you know there are people that go from church to church for 5, 10, 15 years and don't get the breakthrough they were looking for? Well, Jesus is enough. Yeah, he is. But then why are you still looking for your breakthrough? I haven't found the anointing I've been looking for. Oh, right, because your healing, even though you claim Jesus is enough in your doctrinal statement, your actual belief system is that you need the minister ministering Jesus to have the anointing required to break your problem. Wait a minute. That's total confusion. I think the thing is, and yes, there are different anointings in the body of Christ, and yes, there are different levels of authority in the body of Christ. Jesus allocates us authority in accordance with our maturity. So less maturity, less authority. That's how it works in my house too. Can I tell you, my 2-year-old does not have the authority of my wife. She's still 1, actually. She'll be 2 soon. But, like, you know, seriously, like, if she says, well, oh, that's tough. Dada, I want that. Like, she might actually get it. That one's tough. Wow. I really threw myself under the bus on that one. She really gets what she wants. But so does her mama. So, anyway. But authority, like, you know, she doesn't even know how to tell me to go to the store. So I'm still winning, but what I'm saying is, right, there is that. At the same time, when we understand design, we can actually map the power of God to an understanding of human design that achieves breakthrough. And it happens because of spiritual legality. And that is where real progress, we've seen real progress, because as we've been mapping like prayer resources to actual spiritual mechanics based on an understanding of design, we're seeing anticipatable, repeatable results, even when it isn't me that's ministering or one of my trained ministers. And that's what reveals the real power of Jesus to do the work, when you don't need like the man that's sitting on the platform. And so, so what we are in is a new leap forward, where it's like, okay, now we're actually going to begin to explore this one, this mind, will, and emotions. And I'm going to start with a conversation on the brain. Now, how many of you know that your brain processes thoughts and information? In fact, it stores memories. And your brain will send electrical signals through your nervous system that tells your body what to do. And it will actually process what your body is sending back to the brain as information, right? So if I pound this table, my hand tells my body I did pound a table. It's back and forth. Now, what that means is that there is a brain that interacts with the soul. Can I tell you? There's another brain that interacts with the body. You know what we call that? The second brain. Anybody heard of that? Anybody ever heard of that? The second brain is the gut. Ooh, gut. Can you imagine? This is all the rave in science. They're talking about how there is so much information that processes between the gut and the brain. Back and forth, back and forth. They just call it the second brain now. The gut, or second brain, is the enteric nervous system. The enteric nervous system. I'm going to walk you guys into this revelation through the gate of actual observation and science. The enteric nervous system is two thin layers of more than 100 million nerve cells lining the gastrointestinal tract. It starts in the esophagus and goes all the way through the rectum. And it has been found that IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, and other functional bowel problems contribute to symptoms like anxiety and depression. Now, let me explain how this works. Can you imagine that what's going on in your gut is the reason why you are being driven to solutions that claim mental health solutions? Let me explain. There are people who have a problem in their second brain that drives them to a psychiatrist that gives them a drug to shut down their depression and anxiety. And they were trying to figure out why they are spiritually harassed. Well, maybe they are spiritually harassed, but there's a whole realm of consideration that some of us have taken off the table. What if the actual problem sits in the body, which is part of our God-ordained design? While people often seek mental health expertise for things like depression and anxiety, sometimes the main driver is actually gut health. This is crazy. Now, I'm going to give you guys something else. The body has intelligence that can be engaged through manual muscle testing. Now, I'm going to give a disclaimer here. I'm not an expert in manual muscle testing. I don't come at this comment from a place of power. I have observation. Some muscle testing methods I don't trust at all. I think they are pretty much weird and occult. And there are other things that are pretty valid. And there are a lot of chiropractors and wellness practitioners that do use certain models of manual muscle testing to get achievable and anticipatable results with their clients. There's a reason why, though, and it's not because they're consulting demons. The body has intelligence that can be engaged, and this is one way of engaging that mind. Let me explain my experience. Now, usually I reserve this conversation for like conferences and other things, but you know, now we're in this series. So years ago, my wife and I went to a naturopath who was a Christian. And you know, we were doing like super dosing on minerals and nutrients to correct things in the body. So we went through a season of, okay, we're going to do all of this stuff, and then we're going to do all of this stuff. People that have, you know, a history in homeopathy and other things, like they know a little bit about like super dosing vitamins and minerals, right? But sometimes the body isn't fully ready for a super dose on something. So what this guy did was he would actually muscle test the nutrients that we were going to take. So he'd put the drops or the, you know, the actual, I mean, you call them pills, but they're just ground up herbs and in a capsule. And he'd put them in our hand. And he'd say, close your eyes. And say, okay. And, you know, stand on one foot and hold your hand out. Now, that looks a little weird. But it's like, okay, so what's happening? And he'd say, all right, now I'm going to put this in. And what I experienced was there were certain combinations of herbs and minerals and vitamins that made my body kind of wobble. And there were other ones that solid. And what he's, you know, perspective was when the body goes solid, that's the body telling you, this is a place of strength for me. I want that. And I realized like, wow, the body is actually, my body's actually telling me which of these combinations of nutrients, minerals, and vitamins are appropriate for me to superdose at this time. And he said, you could do this at the supermarket. He said, just go ahead and try. Get a Snicker bar and an apple. You know what? It worked. Like the Snicker bar, I don't have any balance at all. You know, but like, you know, healthy food, like just, you know, not the bioengineered apples. Now, the point is there is an intelligence that sits in the body that makes this make sense. Right? And with that said, there's been a lot of research even into this world, and you could read it. I mean, there's literature, there's scientific literature on manual muscle testing, all of that. Now, I'm not here to endorse like any kind of thing in that realm per se, but I'm just trying to illustrate the concept. I'm giving you guys a foundation because we're going somewhere with this. What I want you to know is that the physical body, your physical body is self-aware, independent of your soul. The physical body is self-aware, independent of the soul. I say it has a mind of its own. You know, if I eat too many beans and vegetables and cabbage, my body will have a mind of its own. I mean, I'm going to tell it like, no, you don't. Blah, blah, blah. It's just going to be a thing. Like the body has, anybody over 40? Okay. All right, I'm not talking to you 20-something. Like, yeah, like, all right. I just hit 40. We're in a new world. The body really gets a mind of its own. See, it's self-aware, though. Like, it knows. It's like, oh, you put that in me? Let me show you what I will deliver. You go, I will deliver you my response. So, where we're going, the physical body is self-aware. It has a mind, will, and emotions. The soul has a mind, will, and emotions. The spirit has a mind, will, and emotions. And with that said, there are other ways of engaging the mind, will, and emotions of the body. There are other ways. And this is something that I ran headfirst into in the ministry that we're doing. Because just like I can talk to a person's soul and say, hey, brother, look, I can see that you have some shame and some real regret sitting on you. Why don't we you know, repent of that. And it's like, I'm now all of a sudden I'm ministering to the soul because I'm ministering to what's at front. That's the soul. I could say, and for those of you that have followed all of our human spirit teaching over the years, so-and-so's human spirit, I bless you in the name of Jesus, and I honor you in the name of Jesus. I am inviting you to be present at the surface. Now, what happens is I'm able to engage the human spirit in its mind, will, and emotions at the surface of the person's body, and it is different than the soul. It's a different part of what God designed them and who God designed them to be. And we spent a lot of time talking about the spirit in the pre-Adamic series because I was drawing out the illustration that the spirit is actually the part of us that pre-exists with God. And so we spent a long time talking about that, and you can review some of that, and we have a whole course on our institute as well, and you know that I'm not going to reteach right now. But what I found in addition to that is the ability to speak directly to the body. In other words, instead of saying so-and-so's spirit, I bless you, I could say so-and-so's body. I bless you in the name of Jesus. And I honor you in the name of Jesus. I am inviting you to be present. Suddenly, that mind of the body that I believe actually sits in the gut can come forward and begin to react on whatever I am inquiring about. Now, this is the fascinating part about it, because this has actually been tested. So now I'm giving you guys a little window into the like world of like what God is opening up. I've come to people that have been through abuse and different things, and I've said, okay, you know, well, were you ever subjected to this type of trauma? Let's just call it trauma A to keep it, you know, nice and light on Sunday morning. Trauma A. I don't have any memory of that. Okay. Well, you have these symptoms, so I think trauma A is probably there. But, you know, is there anyone on the inside that has any memory of trauma A? I don't hear anything. Now, that language would be looking for a soul part. You know, is there anyone on the inside? So I'd be looking for a soul part to react on that question. I don't hear anything. Watch this. So-and-so's body. Were you ever subjected to trauma A, yes or no? Oh! Ah! Oh! I don't know what's happening. Suddenly, the body goes into an ab reaction on the question because the body is telling me, yes, I did. Even if the soul is completely dissociated on the subject. And so what I've realized is when I'm working with people, I'm not limited to working with the soul or the soul parts or even the spirit or Jesus who steps in and will help us as well as we work through bondage and brokenness and trauma. We are able to actually engage with the mind of the body, and it will tell me what I need to know to get the breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Now, this is revolution because what we have found is that not only is the physical body self-aware for some of the reasons I've already explained, but deeper insights have revealed that it has multiple areas of self-awareness. Now, this is interesting. I can actually ask or speak to an area of the body or a body system independent of the full human body to get information. Like so-and-so's digestive system, were you ever poisoned? Yes or no. So-and-so's skin, were you ever burned? Yes or no. I can actually ask questions of different body systems to get information and have those parts of the body individually react on the ministry questions, because the body has intelligence that is not just singular. It's actually divided up. Now what I'm going to tell you is going to blow your grid, because there are so many parallels between the human body and the revelation on the body of Christ. It will blow your mind. How many of you know Jesus has a body? Can I explain something to you? I don't know. This is deep. Are y'all ready for this one?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Did you know that the body that Jesus took to the cross is also the body that he resurrected from the dead? And did you know that the body that Jesus resurrected from the dead is the body that he took far above all heavens with him? It is a physical body, but it is that physical body of which you and I become members. All right, hold on. Did you think Jesus had a different body that he was talking about? Did you think that he took one body up to heaven with him but left another sack of potatoes down on the earth, the one that he doesn't like? You. No. Amen. No, he didn't do that. Amen. The same body that Jesus took up in resurrection and ascension to occupy the throne of David in is the body that you and I have become members in.
Yes, hallelujah.
Because it's the same body that was broken. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. That communion bread we break, that is us. When we take communion together, we put a demand on the unity of the body. Because that body is us. One body. Many members. Did you know that Jesus can talk to you independent of me? You don't need me to tell you what God is telling you, because God can tell you all by himself. We are individually kings and priests, which means that God could ask you a question. He's not asking me. Did you know that that's the pattern we're actually looking at in the physical human body? It's the same thing. Different members, one body. Oh, come on. So now... Now, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14 says the same thing. For as the body is one and has how many members?
Many.
But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Look at that. For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If you're still confused, he also put Ephesians chapter 2, 14 through 17, there for our help. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, Jew and Gentile, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body to the cross. Can you imagine? Thereby putting to death the enmity, and he came and preached peace to you who are far off and of those who were near. This is amazing. So what I am saying is, God has put an intelligence and a mind in the human body. And can I just give you another example? Do you know that people do this all the time? They don't even know it. They do it by prophetic unction of the Spirit all the time. Anybody ever been to a church where they pray for people at the altar? Anybody ever been to that church? Right? They do it at a lot of churches. We're going to be doing plenty of this too. Now, altar ministry has been pulling on this revelation for I don't even know how long. Right? But this is what it looks like. Person comes forward and they're like, all right, what's going on? I got a busted shoulder. I need you to pray for me. Now, how many of you know getting prayer for a busted shoulder is a nice thing to get? Because it would be cool if Jesus healed it. And guess what? He died to heal that thing. Amen. So we could pray for a busted shoulder and have confidence that that busted shoulder was fixed at the cross. We're pulling on the promises of God. Now, when we begin to pray for that busted shoulder, it may sound like this. Father God, I thank you for your presence in brother's life. And you, Lord God, died and nailed his sicknesses and diseases to the cross, right? By your stripes, we were healed. And I'm praying for this brother's shoulder that it would be pulled into alignment with heaven's resources and heaven's realities. In fact, shoulder, I command you in the name of Jesus to come into alignment with the promises of God. The moment that that prayer minister, by unction of the Holy Ghost, begins to command that shoulder into an alignment with the promises of God, guess what they stepped into? A ministry to the consciousness of the human body. Because they're talking to the body as if the body can hear them. And you know what? The body will listen. The body will listen. Because it has a mind. How many shoulders have been healed because someone prayed like that by the unction of the Holy Ghost? A lot. A lot. The body can hear us. But can I tell you something? If the body can hear you commanding the promises of God over it, the body can hear other things. Like when you command death and destruction to it. Or when you command the curses over it. Or derogatory confessions. It hears. You know, the kind of things that happen in the body of Christ are unfortunate because we have mapped very broken perspectives onto how we deal with our own human body. We've been told things like the body is worthless to God, or the body is just the body of sin. We have to live for the spirit and dismiss with the things of the flesh. You have to hate the flesh. Hate the flesh, exalt the spirit. Anybody ever heard something that sounds like that? But that's put a program in our head. It's like, oh, it's okay to hate my body. It's okay to disrespect my body. This thing is going to be discarded. I get to leave this one. I get to go away in death. Like whatever's in this thing, lack of health and sin nature and all this stuff, like, you know, whatever. Can I ask you a question? If the body was bad, why would God choose the physical body as his temple? No, I'm serious. If the body was bad, why would God choose the physical body as his temple? It doesn't say your spirit is the temple of God only. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So how do we reconcile that? You know, there's been a lot of misconstrued understandings that have been to our detriment. Because we haven't understood just how much of a beating our bodies have taken, not only because of the punishment it gets from living in this world, but because of our own words, evil confessions, the environments that have, you know, many of us grew up in environments that weren't so healthy, especially if you're listening to me. I mean, you know, we just attract. And we're here for you. We're here for you. We're here for you. That's why we're here. Many of us grew up in environments that weren't so healthy. Some of us grew up in the environment that said, children are seen and not heard. Wow. Why? Because those parents thought in their minds that image prevailed over emotional development. So you will be seen and not heard. Your emotions, your feelings, they don't matter here. So people learned dissociative techniques to navigate those environments. Their spirits often ended up crushed in the process. Being seen and not heard is not how God raises his kids. Amen. When God deals with his children, he sees us, he hears us, and then he corrects us. But we're going to be heard. You know, God gave us a voice because he likes it. God gave us a voice. Because you know who takes your voice away? It's the devil. The devil will take your voice. The devil will say, sit down and take it and don't tell anybody what I did to you. God says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what God says. So when we see how God raises his kids, it's a little different. But there are some of us that we went through it in a different way, and we were crushed and broken. So you know what we did? We turned around and said, body, you will be seen and not heard. And so we silence the voice of our own body, ignore it, and subject it to whatever mistreatment we want, verbal and otherwise. That is not God's best. There are so many people that are living under the weight and the consequences of a life lived that maps to the body self-contempt, self-rejection, self-hatred, and a host of other things. It puts dysfunction in our lives because what we don't realize is that since our body has the ability to understand and to feel and to have emotional response, there are consequences for this kind of approach to life. Next week, I'm going to explain to you neural pathways, the amygdala, the hippocampus, how memory is written, and we're going to talk about how memory is actually stored in the physical cells of the body. I don't have time today. The body has a mind. It processes an emotional response to its treatment that is independent of the soul. And for this reason, when I take people through an exercise of repenting to their bodies for the evil things we've pronounced over our bodies, for the things we've said to our or about our bodies, for the ways that we have mistreated our bodies, there's deliverance. Hallelujah. There's deliverance. You know, some of us have done all kinds of things. For instance, self-harm. Do you think that with a conscious understanding of what's happening to it, self-harm doesn't communicate certain things to the body? I tell you, when we engage in these kinds of behaviors, we are burdening the body with self-rejection and self-hatred and feelings of disqualification. And for our soul, it may feel like, oh, this is a breath of fresh air. I can actually feel for a change because I'm so numb. Okay, I understand that, but that self-harm is not God's best for your body. And you know what? If I go and I stab someone in the street, God's probably going to have me come back and repent to them and apologize. I mean, can you imagine Dan Duvall stabbing someone in the street? Like, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, that would be the appropriate response. It's not a good thing to do that. Why should we treat our bodies any different? There are things that we have done. Some of us have, you know, some of us have come from really rough pasts. Drugs, alcohol abuse, things like that. And we repent to God. And we say, God, I'm sorry that I did those things. I'm going to turn to Christ. But we've never actually apologized to our bodies for all of the damage that that lifestyle did to our body. And the body is still burdened by the consequences and the trauma. One of the things we've learned is that the body can choose to not release its trauma to Jesus, even though the soul has repented of a lifestyle choice. And sometimes it's actual permission to the mind of the body saying, yes, you have permission to surrender this trauma to Jesus. That brings physical healing. Oh, friends, we're going to be exploring some things. Hallelujah. But we're going to start. Because how many of you know it would be cool to action on some of this right now? Amen. We're going to start with a prayer of repentance to the body. What that means is, someone's probably going to get offended, like, oh, how would you repent to your body? You only repent to God. No, you repent to your body too. You can repent to anybody. Can I tell you something? I've repented to my wife. It's called an apology. It's called a change your thinking. That's what it is. It's change your thinking. I'm sorry. I repent to you. I did the wrong thing. We can repent to our body. Like it's not. And for some of you that are really on your high horse, try repenting to your wife later today and see your feedback. All right. The interesting thing is as we engage in this act and we acknowledge our body for what it's endured, the body will respond in like kind. It's amazing. Some of us may cry. Some of us may go into quite a bit of emotional stirring. That's okay. It's okay. Some of you online, it's going to be you may not want to be driving while we go through this prayer. Maybe pull over on the side of the road if you're listening, because this could get intense for some of us. That's okay. Jesus is in it. Jesus died for us, body, soul, and spirit. There isn't a single part of you that Jesus doesn't love. Not a single part. And that's why he is raising our bodies back to life at the last day. He's collecting these guys back to him, and they will be glorified. Because he loves the body too. He loves our bodies. He loves his body. We are the body of Christ. And so, Father God, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. We come before you and we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the lover of our souls, but you are also the savior of the body. We thank you for revolution. You are giving us all the keys. You are giving us all the understanding necessary to walk out the heavenly purpose you have ordained to each and every one of us. It doesn't matter what we've come out of, what we've survived, what we've been through. You have a high calling. You have peace for every one of us. You died for our healing, Jesus, and your heart is grieved by our suffering. So I thank you for your presence here today. And I thank you for your interventions. Human bodies, we bless you in the name of Jesus. And human bodies, we honor you in the name of Jesus. And invite you to be present at the surface. Human bodies, I release love upon you. The love of the Father, the love of Jesus, the love of Holy Spirit. We love you. And human bodies, today we humbly offer to you our repentance. We are sorry for the evil things we have said about you. For every time we've called you fat, slow, stupid, useless, ugly, worthless, rebellious, hideous, weak, tired, and wicked. We repent. You, human bodies, are the temple of God. You were created to serve the purposes of the Most High God. We repent to you, human bodies, for the unrealistic demands we have put on you. We repent for exercising you too hard, some of us, for not exercising you at all. We repent to you for the many times you were trying to get our attention and we didn't listen to you. We repent to you for the drugs and illicit substances and copious quantities of alcohol that we forced you to survive. We repent to you for not stretching your muscles, for forcing you to endure long seasons of unrelenting stress, which weakened you. Can anybody say we agree? We repent to you, human bodies, because some of us afflicted you with self-harm and suicide attempts. We repent for the abortions that we forced upon you and for the abortions that were forced upon some of you by others. We repent to you for ungodly and hybrid pregnancies some of you were subjected to. Human bodies, we speak the will of God over you. We command the blessings of Jesus Christ upon you. You are not disposable. You will be raised up and glorified on the last day. Your very presence walking the earth in alignment with heaven and original design will bring the liberty creation is groaning for. We repent to you, human bodies, for the unholy procedures that you were subjected to. Some of you in facilities and labs, both in the physical earth and also other realms. We repent to you, Jesus. Jesus. For the shame, the self-hatred, the self-contempt, the self-pity, the self-accusation, the self-loathing, and anxiety we have retained against our bodies. We repent and renounce what we have done. And Jesus, we pray that you would bind every evil spirit that has been at work in and around our lives as a result of these things, we call them, pierced through and thrust out for judgment to wherever you send them now. Can I get an agreement? Human bodies, we give you our permission today to surrender the trauma you have stored in your physical cells over to the true King Jesus. Jesus, we declare that you died for the body just as much as you died for our soul and our spirit. By your stripes, we were healed. In human bodies, we now, today, anchor you to the finished work of the cross and declare the stripes of Jesus overrule the trauma that you bear in your members. We bless you with honor, with mercy, and with grace. And human bodies, I invite you to respond and tell us what you want us to know. You know, it's interesting when you ask the body to speak back to you, sometimes there will actually be physical sensation in certain areas. That's the body bringing your attention to that area because there's something. Sometimes it will be emotion. Sometimes it'll be thoughts about lifestyle changes. The body saying, would you please help me here? And that's what you're thinking about. That's the body communicating. Jesus. We thank you that you are aligning us, body, soul, and spirit, under the government of heaven. I thank you that you are healing lives today. I thank you that you are restoring years that were devoured by the enemy's agendas. I thank you that you are the faithful one. You never forget about us. You embrace us in our brokenness, in our frailty, in our weakness. And you heal all of our diseases. If you're okay with that, I want you to say amen. And amen.